Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:05 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 10th. It was a reasonably quiet day on stock markets today. I think the vast majority of investors are holding their breath ahead of the ECB's announcement as to exactly what they're going to offer the market in terms of support for the European economy, for the quantitative easing, whether they're going to go into negative short-term interest rates, whether they're going to have negative or even further negative deposit rates, are they going to have a tiering of deposit rates for the banking sector? All of these are considerations, and basically every single one of them has been priced into the bond markets. But what I thought I would kick off with today, though, is the continuous commodity index. It's been trending down for a while now, but we have had a rebound over the course of the last 3 weeks. When we look at this on a weekly basis, then there is quite a pronounced decline over the course of the last 12 months, and it was at a new reaction low as recently as August. It's unwinding that short-term oversold condition, and it's going to have to at least sustain a move back above the 400 level to signal a failed downside break, break the sequence of lower rally highs, and suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But I think it is worth highlighting that there are a significant number of commodities are really quite oversold, and we are starting to see tentative evidence that support is starting to come back in. We've had a very pronounced move in terms of the outperformance of bond proxies. That's been clearly as a result of the huge quantity of outstanding debt that has had a negative yield. When you've got, at the end of August, there were $17 trillion of bonds with a negative yield. Today, it's more like $15.3 trillion, so there has been a significant correction in terms of that quantity, and we're seeing a move in the bond markets that should be putting downward pressure on some of the bond proxy type of investments. We'll look at some of those in a moment. But what it also potentially suggests is that there's a rotation going on. Well, if people are rotating out of things that are really quite overbought, then they're going to likely start looking at instruments that are oversold. And commodities are definitely oversold. So, for example, when we look at the coffee price, it has been bumbling around the dollar level now for most of this year, but there is the potential that what has been put in right now is a higher reaction low, and the pop on the upside that we saw for Arabica today is a bit of a standout. It does suggest that support is coming in around the 95 area. Sugar prices have been trending down over the course of the last few months. Now the question that is really outstanding is whether that 10 cent level is going to hold, and there is a short-term oversold condition. Cotton prices have also been under pressure over the last while, but we're seeing just tentative evidence that some support is coming through in the region of those lows from back in 2016 and 2015. When we then think about lumber prices, they were limit up in here today, and there is at least some evidence of support building over the course of the last 9 or 10 months, and it is firming from the region of the trend mean, although it was up $19 at the close. That's not quite limit up, but it is at least firming from the region of the trend mean right now. Then, of course, we have oil prices, and the Brent crude price was up reasonably impressively yesterday. It was in negative territory in here today, but not in a dynamic manner. It's right in the region of the trend mean. This is a logical area where some traders might be thinking about taking profits, not least because there has been a sequence of lower rally highs evident since the end of April, and it's a generally difficult environment for the energy sector overall, despite the fact that a number of value investors continue to highlight the valuation on energy companies. In order to truly realize the value proposition, then oil price is certainly going to have to at least break back above the trend mean. It hasn't quite been able to do that yet. If, however, we do get additional quantitative easing coming through from other sources apart from the ECB, and we start to see a more liquid environment globally, then that is likely to act as a tailwind for commodities, and oil, of course, is one of those. Natural gas has now unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and this has been a pretty substantial rally over the course of the last 4 weeks. But of course, the question is, how much of it can it hold? It has broken the sequence of lower rally highs, quite obviously. Now, the true test of whether we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond short-term steadying is its ability to put in a higher reaction low. But I think when we look at that longer-term chart, we can clearly see that there is evidence of support coming through around the $2 area on successive occasions over the course of not just the last few years, but going back all the way to 2009, where it found support just above the $2 area. There is plenty of natural gas around, and this secular bear, where prices are likely to be locked in volatile ranging below the $6 area for the foreseeable future, could persist for years to come. It is going to eventually spawn a new source of demand for natural gas. That will be the thing that will eventually complete the base formation. There is the potential that it could be hydrogen fuel cells. But what we saw yesterday with Tesla coming out and saying that they have developed chemistries that can deliver upon the million-mile battery for its cars, then that is likely to be something that is going to be difficult for fuel cells to compete against unless they're used as range extenders. And there is the potential that that could be the case. Of course, hybrid vehicles are more expensive to produce than purely electric vehicles, so that's an inhibiting case. When we look at the industrial metals, then the LME Metals Index is starting to steady from the lower side of its range for the year. Again, this is another index that still has the sequence of lower rally highs. Copper in particular is at least stable in the region of the $2.50 area. And when we zoom in on that over just the last while, that was an upside weekly key reversal that we had last week. It does need to put in some upside follow through in here this week, but at least it is holding on to the gain put in last week. If we do get upside follow through, well, then that is a low of at least near-term significance, potentially medium-term significance. So I do think that the industrial resources are worth monitoring in here. When we look at the nickel price, it is overbought right now and has appreciated pretty significantly over the course of the last couple of months. But it has rebounded over the last few days. This has been a slightly larger reaction, but not, I think, cataclysmically so. And there is the scope that there is still potential for additional upside, considering, of course, that it is coming off really quite depressed levels. And then, of course, we had the move last week in tin prices, and that has at least paused, but it's held on to all of the advance in here this week, and that's also coming off of really quite depressed levels following the very steep decline over most of this year so far. Then, of course, I think when we think about commodities and which have done best over the last while, then gold is obviously one of those, and it was down $12 in here today. There are short-term reasons why people were buying gold. It was as a hedge against the quantity of bonds that were going into negative yields. With bond yields starting to rise, then gold is starting to come back down. Of course, then we have the medium to longer-term reasons why people would want to own gold, because the answer of central banks and governments to the massive quantities of debt that have been taken out over the course of the last decade and the rising debt total overall. I think one important chart that was evident in here today was the gross debt that has been evident from the Institute of International Finance. Total debt overall is somewhere around 250 trillion right now. It was more like 175 trillion in 2008. So the quantity of debt has expanded really quite considerably, and the bulk of that growth has come from corporations and governments. Households have also increased their debt load, but by nothing even close to the quantity of government debt that's expanded. Against that background, there is a clear potential that gold is in a new medium-term bull market. But of course, we always get this argument. When a base formation has been completed, there are going to be some people that say it's just a flash in the pan, that this is a cyclical bull, it's not a secular bull, and we get a first step above the base where this argument gets thrashed out. The most important thing about a first step above the base is that the higher levels are sustained. You need successively more investors to come in and to pay levels that hadn't been seen in at least 6 years in order for that breakout to be sustained. More than anything else, that's a confirmation of the new bullish hypothesis. As long as gold is trading above $1,350, then there is the strong likelihood that we are still in a medium-term bull market environment. Once we see a first step above the base concluded, then it's very likely that the peak around $1,911 will get taken out in the next major advance. So that's, I think, something to bear in mind. Silver is now outperforming gold, and I think that is also worthy of consideration. The price today was relatively unchanged. It has pulled back rather sharply over the course of the last 3 days, having accelerated to get up to test the $20 area. It has come back to the $18 area. We still have ranges one above another, but the acceleration does suggest that we have a peak of at least near-term significance, that it is going to take a little bit of time of rest and consolidation to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Silver has encountered resistance around $20 on multiple occasions over the course of the last 5 years, so this is another example of that. It has clearly broken the downward bias since the failed break above 20 in 2016. The true measure of whether we're in a new bull market will be its ability to find a higher reaction low and to rally from it, and eventually to complete this base formation and sustain the move above 20. And I do think that the medium to longer term consideration, where modern monetary theory is perhaps the most likely scenario, that we're going to see progressively more deficits, more debt, and the real potential for a currency war, our competitive devaluation of fiat currencies, those are likely to be some of the most important factors for gold for the foreseeable future. Now let's think about what about the bond proxies. Well, Mondelez International, for example, spent most of 2015 through to the beginning of this year ranging. And then it broke on the upside and rallied for most of this year. But we've had a downward dynamic in here so far this week, and that looks like a failed upside break. The dynamic of the failure is substantially larger than the dynamic of the breakout. So that does suggest that some money is getting taken off the table in terms of the bond proxies. If we look at the classic dividend aristocrats like McDonald's, then we're seeing also some evidence here of profit taking. It's a pretty similar story with Coca-Cola. And then, of course, there is Starbucks, which was one of the leading decliners yesterday. These are shares that did phenomenally well as a result of the massive momentum move in bonds, because they're considered to be bond proxies. Well, with bond yields starting to pop on the upside, and the 10-year was up 9 basis points in here today, this is a very clear upward dynamic. It is confirming resistance in the region of the 1.5% level, and it is suggesting that we are going to see some additional profit taking in the bond markets. There is the real potential that the anticipation of whatever the ECB was going to implement caused the momentum move, and that we're going to see what is already starting to unfold was a buy the rumor, sell the news type of phenomenon. Well, that is likely to translate into demand for some of the more cyclical sectors. And commodities are certainly one of those. The S&P 500 was squeezed out a positive return in here today. This continues to look like a bullish consolidation. I still think that the most important thing that's happened was the upside key reversal from the region of the trend mean in May. And so far, this has continued to sustain the upward bias. The banking sector is taking some heart from the potential for the quantity of bonds with negative yields to contract, and the S&P 500 Banks Index was in sharply positive territory in here today. Again, this is another cyclical sector. The regional banking index has now posted a failed downside break. It is in the region of the trend mean. If we can follow through on the upside through the balance of this week, then I think we are looking at the potential that it is going to break its sequence of lower rally highs. The transportation index has also rallied rather impressively from the 10,000 level. It's also in the region of its sequence of lower rally highs. So we're on the cusp potentially of some rather positive developments in terms of these sectors that have been underperforming for most of the last 18 months. But we're not there quite yet. So now we do need to see follow through. We do need to see those sequences of lower rally highs broken. But the reality is that central bankers are now anticipating economic data rather than waiting for it. And that's a recipe for a bubble. If they are, and with Jerome Powell clearly stating that they're willing to do whatever it takes to sustain the economic expansion, not to combat a recession, but to sustain the expansion, that's a recipe for a bubble. And I do think that that continues to be the base case. When we look at what's going on in the UK, I'm very much of the opinion that the eventual resolution of the Brexit dilemma is either going to be the betrayal of one of the interested parties in the negotiations, or that that Brexit won't happen at all. That, of course, opens up a whole additional can of worms in terms of exactly what kind of deal has been negotiated. It doesn't go anywhere close to answering the relevant questions about sovereignty and independence and self-governing that people are concerned with. But unfortunately, that is the disappointing outcome of the Brexit negotiations over the last 3 years. Now, there is one thing that's important to pay attention to, is that there's been a base formation put in by the pound versus the euro over the course of the last 3 years. It's been very volatile because of the emotions that have been very evident on both sides of the negotiations. But ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and they give way to trends. We've just seen a failed downside break below 110. The short-term oversold condition is rapidly being unwound, and the price has now broken the sequence of lower rally highs. As long as it continues to hold the 110 area, well, then I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging and the potential that it's going to go back up and test the 115 area. Eventually, the pound is going to sustain a breakout, whether that is on the downside or on the upside. These kinds of repeated failed breaks on the upside and the downside is not sustainable. This kind of swing trading that has been evident over the course of the last 3 years does not last indefinitely. Eventually we are going to get an answer, and the pound is already really very low. So there is the potential that that while it is tempting to think that this negotiation process will go on interminably, there is the scope for a surprise, and unfortunately the price of that surprise could be the DUP. That does appear to be what is starting to coalesce right now, and that is obviously bad news for the state of peace in Northern Ireland, but it could be positive for the pound. It would lead to a resolution, not a favorable resolution, certainly not the kind of thing that people were voting for when they voted for Brexit. They were looking for a clean break, they were looking for a fresh start, and that is looking increasingly unlikely. But nonetheless, it could potentially be positive for the pound. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.